upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. This is Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief of Technocracy News and Trends. Today is June 11, 2019. It's a beautiful day in summer, and boy, do we have some stories for you today. Those of you who have followed technocracy.news for any period of time, or those who have read either one of my books on technocracy, know that I have carefully documented the characteristics of sustainable development as being the same as technocracy, that is, historic technocracy. If you are not up on that line of thinking, you can go to technocracy.news and read the Quick Start Guide. At least that's a place to start, and you get some idea of what I'm talking about. On page 20 and 21 of my most recent book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, I wrote the following. Was sustainable development disingenuous? Or was it for real? Pratap Chatterjee and Matthias Finger, authors of The Earth Broker in 1994, were direct participants in the UN meetings leading up to the Earth Summit held in Rio in 1992. They were environmentalists of the original order that preceded globalization, and they were deeply disappointed in the entire process and outcome. They concluded that, quote, as a result of the whole unsaid process, side note, UNCED stands for United Nations Conference on Economic Development. That was the official title of the Rio de Janeiro Conference, the first Earth Summit that produced Agenda 21. So UNCED, UNCED. They concluded that, quote, as a result of the whole UNCED process, the planet was going to be worse off, not better, close quote. In further opposition, they wrote, now listen carefully, we argue that UNCED has boosted precisely the type of industrial development that is destructive for the environment, its planet, and its inhabitants. We see how, as a result of UNCED, the rich will get richer, the poor poorer, while more and more of the planet is destroyed in the process. Close quote. Now, this is an earth-shaking statement because they understood, even back then, right as this entire sustainable development nonsense was launched, that the outcome was going to be the opposite of what they said. And this is exactly what we see today. We have three beautiful examples of how one thing promises utopia, and what you end up with is just the opposite, dystopia. This is where the world and America needs to wake up to the dangers of sustainable development, aka technocracy. Now, the first article is titled, Study, Ride-Sharing Services Actually Increase Traffic Congestion. This article starts out, rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft promised they would supplement public transit and help ease traffic congestion. But data collected by the city and now made public shows almost half of Chicago's millions of monthly rideshare trips are taking place in just a few wealthy, crowded, and already transit-rich areas. Now, the promise of Agenda 21 originally was to urbanize the world in a way that decreased congestion of traffic, basically got combustion cars completely off the roads. It promised the implementation of bike trails, of mass transit, buses, light rail, things like that, to decrease the amount of pollution and thus save the world. So as a result, we see companies like Uber and Lyft that rose to the occasion to provide ride-sharing services that would, in a sense, mimic mass transit, like buses, for instance. A car doesn't have as many seats as a bus, but If you can double up in a car, they reasoned why this would get other cars off the road. Just exactly the opposite has happened. The article states ride-sharing services have ushered in new convenience for residents trying to get around the city and represent other transportation option in lower-income communities. But the city's data also reflects ride-sharing's impact on city streets and balance sheets. Uber and Lyft drivers competing with taxi cabs in already congested neighborhoods and millions of dollars of lost revenue at the Chicago Transit Authority as people shun public transportation for a solo ride in the back seat of a stranger's car. The release of the data comes as new Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot considers new fees for rideshare trips. In other words, they're trying to recoup some money. But drivers themselves are saying, well, we can't prove it, but downtown areas are sure a lot more congested today than they ever were before. So it appears that there's been a faux pas in the implementation of ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft, and things are getting more congested, not less. And in the meantime, other city transit services are losing money as a result of people taking Uber and Lyft. Okay, there's story number one. Story number two is another study. Solar and wind generation make electricity more expensive. I wrote, the renewable industry will howl and whine about this authoritative study from the University of Chicago. But the facts are in. Renewables drive energy costs up, not down, as claimed. Now, the world has run off in a panic to implement renewable energy, windmills, solar farms, ocean-generating schemes. This article states solar panels and wind turbines are making electricity significantly more expensive. A major new study by a team of economists from the University of Chicago finds renewable portable standards, quote, significantly increase average retail electricity prices, with prices increasing by 11%, that's 1.3 cents per kilowatt hour, 7 years after the policy's passage into law, and 17% 12 years afterwards. So the curve is rising. It started out at 11%. And now 17%. The study, which has yet to go through peer review, was done by Michael Greenstone, Richard McDowell, and Ison Nath. It compared states with and without an RPS, that's Renewable Portfolio Standard. It did so using what the economists say is, quote, the most comprehensive state-level data set ever compiled, which covered 1990 to 2015. The cost to consumers has been staggeringly high, quote, all in all, 7 years after passage, consumers in the 29 states had paid $125 billion more for electricity than they would have in the absence of the policy. So there you have strike number two. Solar and wind generation are supposed to be the saviors of the modern world, the savior from global warming. They're supposed to be the answer to social justice and everything else in between. Well, the truth is known now. Now, if this were a study that was produced by a team of citizens somewhere, it would be laughed off the planet before it even got published. But University of Chicago, mainline economists, I don't think so. This study has teeth, and it concludes very clearly that the promise of sustainable nirvana is nonsense. The policies are driving costs up everywhere you look. The last story that we're going to cover today is even more dramatic. In fact, this is absolutely huge. Angela Merkel, Prime Minister of Germany, she admitted openly that German multiculturalism has utterly failed. That's a quote, utterly failed. The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, has courted growing anti-immigrant opinion in Germany by claiming the country's attempts to create a multicultural society have, quote, utterly failed. Speaking to a meeting of young members of her Christian Democratic Union Party, Merkel said the idea of people from different cultural backgrounds living happily side by side did not work. She said the onus was on the immigrants to do more to integrate into German society. Quote, this multicultural approach has failed, utterly failed, Merkel told the meeting in Potsdam. Her remarks will stir a debate about immigration in a country which is home to around 4 million Muslims. In the past, Merkel has tried to straddle both sides of the argument by talking tough on integration, but also calling for an acceptance of mosques. She faces pressure from within the CDU to make a harder line on immigrants who show resistance to being integrated into German society. Yesterday's speech is widely seen as a lurch to the right, designed to placate that element in her party. Merkel said too little has been required of immigrants in the past and repeated her argument that they should learn German in order to cope in school and take advantage of opportunities in the labor market. So there you have it, the leader of the most powerful nation in Europe stating that a major, major policy of multiculturalism in Europe has utterly failed. This is a capitulation of epic proportions. Now I'll tell you why. I wrote an article back in 2016, April, entitled Sustainable Development, Migration, and the Multicultural Destruction of the Nation State. You can go back and read this article. You can search for it on technocracy.news and you'll find it. And I wrote, depending on where you live and how sensitive you are to the global mass immigration crisis, your reaction to it will be somewhere between head-scratching and shell-shocked incredulity. The purpose of this report is to give you some concrete evidence about where these policies originated and to what ends they were created. A major player is Peter Sutherland, that is now the late Peter Sutherland, who in past years has served as a director general of the World Trade Organization, as chairman of Goldman Sachs International, as EU commissioner, as chairman of BP, and chair of the London School of Economics Council, among other things. Most importantly, however, he is the European honorary chairman of the elitist trilateral commission. Yeah, you might have figured that was going to play in here somewhere. I've stated so many times and documented so many times that modern sustainable development is a creation of the trilateral commission and its members in order to, quote unquote, foster their new international economic order that they declared in 1973. I continued writing, his relevance to this article is that in 2006, he was appointed by the United Nations to be the special representative of the Secretary General for International Migration. So now he's in charge of migration policy at the United Nations. Needless to say, whatever comes out of Sutherland's mouth is certifiably representative of the official policy of the Trilateral Commission and the global elite at large. In fact, he's one of the most respected policymakers in the world, and many consider him to be the father of globalization. He's kind of like the David Rockefeller of Europe, if you will. The migration crisis in Europe came to global attention in the fall of 2015. Headlines like these were seen in the European press. Mass migration is on the verge of destroying Europe. Here's another one. We're doomed. EU chief fears union will collapse over migrant crisis, 2015. Merkel stands ground on refugees as 1.5 million seen coming, in October of 2015. Sweden first opened its doors to Muslim immigrants in the 1970s. The trickle of migration was slow at first, but increased over the decades as turmoil in the Mideast produced more refugees. Today, Sweden's culture is as much Islamic as it is Swedish. Remember, this was in 2016 that I wrote this. Muslims have steadfastly refused to assimilate into Swedish culture, and now the nation is paying a high social price for their naivety. It has become the rape and gang rape capital of the West. In spite of the European crisis, Sutherland wrote in 2015, this is Peter Sutherland now, quote, human mobility benefits not only migrants and their families, but their countries of origin and destination as well. No other force, not trade, not capital flows, has the potential to transform lives in the sustainable, positive ways and on a scale that migration does, close quote. Since his 2006 appointment to the UN, Sutherland has stumped this message across Europe with great fanfare. With the combined weight of the UN behind him, governments were persuaded to further open their borders to immigration. A growing multicultural society, he claimed, was the only pathway to sustainable development. Let me repeat that. A growing multicultural society, he claimed, was the only pathway to sustainable development. And now, of course, today, Angela Merkel is saying it has utterly failed. I continued, Sutherland is the leading apologist for federalism in Europe. That is, dissolving national borders and completely and simply merging all cultures into one big happy family. The obvious shortcomings of these policies have not deterred Sutherland or the UN from stating that more migration, not less, is the answer to the current crisis. At the peak of the migration crisis in November 2015, and just after the horrific Paris terrorist attacks, the headline appeared, quote, UN warns Europe against backtracking on migrant commitments. Really? The article scolded European leaders. This is what they said. The United Nations on Tuesday urged states not to backtrack on pledges made to host migrants and refugees, including from Syria, in the wake of attacks in Paris. Multiple UN agencies issued a warning to European leaders who might use the tragedy to advance anti-migrant policies. A spokesman for the UN Rights Agency, Rupert Colville, described calls for a crackdown on migrants as very, very stupid. Quote, he says, it's really pretty disgusting how extreme anti-immigrant politicians and media commentators have jumped on this attack to push their existing agendas. That is really pretty obscene, actually, given what happened in Paris. It is not surprising that migration is now included as an official part of the United Nations 2030 agenda that created 17 sustainable development goals in November of 2015. Follow the timeline. I wrote this article in 2016. The crisis was identified in early 2015, and now the United Nations in 2015, November, created the so-called 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Southern addressed this in a report called Migration is Development, How Migration Matters to the Post-2015 Debate. Here's what he wrote, quote, the post-2015 debate so far has underlined the need to strengthen global partnerships and, in light of the evidence highlighted above, human mobility has been mentioned in the same context as trade, transfer of technology, and other development forces. Goal 10.7 of the SDGs, that's Sustainable Development Goals, reflects this to, quote, facilitate orderly, safe, regular, and responsible migration and mobility of people, including through the implementation of planned and well-managed migration policies. Sutherland further wrote in Migration is Development, there is no greater symbol of the world's growing interdependence than the movement of people. If we can make meaningful economic progress in the coming generations, one of the pivotal reasons will be that people are allowed to move about freely. Advanced countries, with their adverse demographic trends, need migrants, as do developing countries, not only for migrants' economic contributions, but also for the social and cultural diversity they bring. Close quote. Sutherland's use of the word interdependence will be remembered by early students of the Trilateral Commission literature from 1973 onward. While the Commission may not have invented the word, they certainly popularized it in the context of globalization. However, there was never any demand or need for interdependence among nations, but Commission doctrine insisted that it was a given fact of life and that nations were going to necessarily meld together. In summary, this is where modern migration policies have come from. Open borders and unlimited mobility of foreigners are in. Immigration restrictions of any sort are out. So we see a 1-2 punch here of migration policies coming from the United Nations as well as the Trilateral Commission. They're the ones that opened Europe up like a giant oyster and forced them out in the open to support multiculturalism and migration. Sutherland must have said hundreds of times that the path to successful, sustainable development was to develop a multicultural society. And now I will suggest that their policy has taken a major hit in credibility. They said one thing, and the exact opposite occurred. And now Germany faces its 4 million mostly Muslim immigrants who refuse to integrate and who have completely destroyed the policy, brought it out in the open, Merkel says finally, German multiculturalism has utterly failed. And now it's too late to restore the Germany of former days or the Sweden of former days or any other country in Europe that has been inundated by this invasion from the South. There's no way they can go back. It's too late. Does anybody say, gee, we're sorry? Or gee, we goofed? No, because they didn't goof and they didn't fail. This was the goal from day one, was to strike down the borders and deconstruct the nation state in Europe. And they're doing a very good job of it. Now the cracks have just appeared and people are openly admitting we got screwed. Well, this is food for thought. Three things today that demonstrate the promises are false. Everything surrounding sustainable development will be found false in the end. It's a fraud. It's disingenuous. It's attempting to deconstruct society, not save it. And I hope enough Americans and other people around the world will recognize this soon enough to stand up and take action in their own countries before they too are in the position that Angela Merkel is in, saying that their multiculturalism experiments have utterly failed. And in the meantime, they destroy another country. I, for one, am not in any mood to have America destroyed in this way. And yet we have people pouring across our southern border who are intent on invading our country for the sake of milking it dry. And even though many South Americans and Central Americans have been coming into America, there's also a constant flow of people from the Mideast, of people from other countries like even China. This needs to stop. Even though President Trump has sworn he's going to build a wall and stop the illegal immigration, it hasn't happened yet. And in the meantime, we've had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of new people storm across our border to eat up resources in our country. And they have mostly no intent of integrating into the American society. Well, this is food for thought in any case, so you can take it for what it's worth. I hope you will share this podcast with everyone you know. This is a rather earth-shaking message, all in all, for people to understand. I'm Patrick Wood. Bye for now.